We're holding on Chofches Amud Aleph, 11 lines from the bottom. We were in the middle of talking about what happened when various Amoroyim passed away. So now a couple more about those. The Gemara says, Rav Elazar have a ka'ochel truma. Rav Elazar one time, Rav Elazar, the Amora, was a Kohen. Actually, Rav Elazar, the Tanner, Rav Elazar and Shamor was also a Kohen, but he was talking about Rav Elazar ben Pedos, the Amora, the Talmud of Rabbi Yechanan. So he was one time eating truma. Ischazile and the Malach HaMavos appeared to him. In other words, that it's his time that it's his time to pass away. Omalei, so Rav Elazar told him, truma kachilna. Look, right now I'm eating truma. The lav kodesh ikri, isn't truma called kodesh? And if you make me die right now, then truma is going to become tummy. And you're not supposed to. Truma has to be kept tar. So, the time passed, in other words, the Malach HaMavos had no choice but to leave, and therefore Rav Elazar ended up living for a good long time after that. Another example, in the end, Rav Shura Goyen tells us in his Igeres that Rav Yochanan passed away, and then Rav Elazar passed away only a few months after him, but if it hadn't been for this, in other words, he would have passed away long before. Another example, Rav Sheshes is Chazilei B'Shukah. Rav Sheshes, one time, while he was walking in the marketplace in the street, the Malach HaMavos appeared to him. Avalei, so Rav Sheshes says to the Malach HaMavos, B'Shukah, you want me to die here in the marketplace, like a behemoth, like an animal that just drops dead in the middle of the street? Issa L'Gavi Besa, come to the house, and there you can do what you need to do, but I'm not going to have it happen in the street. And a third example, Rav Ashi is Chazilei B'Shukah. Rav Ashi, the Malach HaMavos, came and appeared to him also in the street. Omalei, so Rav Ashi told him, Itrech li tlosim yomim. Wait for me 30 days. Va'ahadri l'tamudoy. I want to have one last time to go over my learning. Da'amritu, I know that you and Shemayim say, the Malach HaMavos, after all, is a Malach. So I know that you, Malachim, and Shemayim say, Ashrei mishabolakan b'talmud b'yodeh. Happy is a person who comes to Olam Haba and his Torah is in his hand. In other words, that he remembers it well. So I want 30 days to have one last review of it. Marsha actually connects this with the fact that we know it says Rav Ashi was Rosh Hashiva for almost 60 years, and during that time is when he reviewed and organized the Gemara largely into the form that we have it now. So these 30 days were one last opportunity to finish those revisions. An interesting point, actually, the Tiferes Yisrael actually says there's a couple of Masechtas, for example, Nedarim and Nazir and Tamid and some others that are kind of different in style than the rest of Shas. And he says, so maybe what it is those were the Masechtas that Rav Ashi, even with this 30-day extension, did not have the chance to go over and put them into their final form the way we have with the other Masechtas. Anyway, so sure enough, the Malach HaMavos gave him a 30-day extension. B'yom Tlosin Asa, on the 30th day, the Malach HaMavos came back. Omalei Mai Kolahai, so Rav Ashi says, what's the hurry, what's the rush? At least wait until the end of the 30 days. Why are you coming on the 30th day itself? And then Malach HaMavos told him, Kodachke Ragle de Barnosan. Because by now you're already pushing the feet of Barnosan. Barnosan is Huna Barnosan, who was the Reish Galusa at that time. And the Gemara tells us else. Now the Rosh Galusa were politically powerful. This particular one, not all of them were Tamar Chachamim. This particular one, Huna Barnosan, was, besides being the Reish Galusa, he was also one of the great Chachamim, and he was a Talmud of Rav Ashi, or Talmud Chavar at least. And as long as Rav Ashi was alive, then Huna Bar Nosan is not really able to exercise full power. The Gemara expresses it elsewhere. Make of Kayflay Rav Ashi, like he's sort of subjugated to Rav Ashi because Rav Ashi was outranked, was much greater than him in Torah, and therefore outranked him. So now the Malach HaMavos tells him, you know what? I mean, it's time already for Huna Bar Nosan to be able to be independent of you. Some of the Mephoshim say he became the next Rosh Hashiva. The Ein Malchus Negas B'Chavacha Filikim Loinima. One kingship cannot overlap the other one, even by a hair's breadth. So it's time for you to go, so that Huna Bar Nosan can then have the power that he's supposed to be having. Another example of one of the Chachamim, how he passed away. By the way, Maharsha points out with a lot of these Chachamim, where we're saying that they passed away fairly suddenly. We said yesterday that we learned earlier on the Amud that if a person is sick for less than 5 days before they pass away, then it's not such a good siman. It means that it's a Misa Chatufa or Misa Chatufa or whatever, all the various possibilities that we said. But the answer is, Maharsha says, we said before in the Gemara, that anybody who lived to be at least 80 years old is not, then that doesn't apply anymore. Then when they pass away suddenly, it's Mrs. Neshika. Well, in Rav Ashi's case, for example, given that he was Rosh Hashiva for 60 or close to 60 years, they obviously didn't make him Rosh Hashiva before he was 20 years old, so therefore he was obviously at least 80 years old. And we would have to say the same thing with the other ones. So the Gemara says, Rav Chista lai have a yochel lei. When it came to Rav Chista, the Malach HaMavis couldn't do anything with him at all. The lai have a shosik for Mimigirsa, because his mouth never stopped saying words of Torah. Solik Yosef Ba'arza de Beirav. So the Malach HaMavis went and sat on Arza de Beirav. Arza means a cedar. So it can be a cedar tree by the yeshiva of Rav. Beirav doesn't always mean the yeshiva of Rav, actually. It can just mean the yeshiva in general. Anyway, it can mean a cedar tree, or it can mean a beam made out of cedar, like a central beam that holds up a building. Anyway, Poka Arza, the beam broke from the Malach HaMavis being on it. The beam or the tree broke. The Shosak, and for a second there, Rav Chista was shocked or surprised by it, and he stopped learning the Yachidlei, and then the Malach HaMavis was able to get him. We have similar things that it says about David HaMelech and about Rabbah, where they were learning constantly, and the Malach HaMavis had to distract them for a moment in order to be able to get them. But again, Maharsha says, we said before, Rav Chista lived to be 92, we said earlier on the Amud, so therefore the fact that he passed away suddenly is nothing wrong. It means it's Misnes Neshita. And another example, the Gemara says, Rav Chia loy have a matzi l'mikre v'lei. Rav Chia also, the Malach HaMavis, was not able to approach him because of his tremendous kedusha. Yom echad idne le'ka'anya. One day, the Malach HaMavis appeared to Rav Chia in the form of a poor man. Osef tarif abava. He came and knocked at the door. Omale apikli rifta. And he says, bring me out some bread. Apikule. So the Rav Chia brought him out some bread. Omalei, so the Malach HaMavis says to him, "V'lav kamaracha mar a'anya." Look, Rebbe, I see that you have Rachmanus on the Aniyim. Ahahu gavra on that person, meaning me, in my role as the Malach HaMavis. Amai lo kamaracha mar. Why are you not having Rachmanus? Why do I have, why are you not allowing me to do my job? Galilei, so the Malach HaMavis, now, what do you mean? Now, who are you exactly? What are you talking about? Galilei achrele shuta denura. So he showed him and exposed for him a shuta denura, a stick or a sword of fire, which is the Malach HaMavis's tool. And then Rav Chia realized that's really who it is. It's not just some poor person. This is actually the Malach HaMavis in disguise. Amtzile nafshe, and therefore he made himself available, because after all, the Malach HaMavis is a shliach of Hashem and he has to do his job. An interesting Musar Dikavot that it says on this, and one has to do with the other, because he gives bread to a poor person, therefore he should give up his life. And the answer is, when you give bread or tzedakah to a poor person, you should be putting your whole life, you should be putting your whole neshama into it. So that's actually the connection that the Malach HaMavis is saying. Given that when you give tzedakah, you put your whole soul, you put your whole mitzvah into it, so it should be over here also. Mishnah says, last Mishnah of the Masechta, Noshim b'moyed ma'anas. On Chalam Moyed, when there's a Levaya, then women are allowed to be ma'anas, which we're going to say soon in the Mishnah what ma'anas means. B'chlal, the minhag was in those times that very often the women would be the ones who are leading the mourning and the mourning and the crying and saying various things to arouse people's emotions. So therefore, so on Chol HaMoed, there's restrictions in what they can do. They can do ma'anas avaloyim b'tapchos, but they cannot do b'tapchos. We learned previously that b'tapchos means that they slap with their hands. So it can mean they clap their hands together as an expression of grief. Some of the Mephoshim say that it means they bang their heads on, they bang their hands on various parts of their body. Sometimes even the Ritva says that may be, they may do it hard enough to cause blood to flow. Now, then the question becomes, what about, there's an issue in the Torah, loisis goydidu, you're not allowed to make cuts in your skin for a mess. And there's, because there's a goyim used to do that, that there's a ritual, as there's a ritual for Avodah Zarah. So the Tefillah says, that's what it means. You can't make cuts. But for example, if a person is slapping themselves or banging themselves so hard that blood goes out, then that's not a problem. So that's in the top place. So they're not allowed to do that on Chol HaMoed because that's a much larger expression of grief. Rabbi Shmuel Amar, Smuchas L'mitzah Metachas. Rabbi Shmuel says the women who are closest to the mitzah, to the bier where they're carrying the mess, are allowed to do Metachas even on Chol HaMoed. The Mishnah continues, Barosh Chodashim B'Chanukah V'Purim, on Rosh Chodesh Chanukah and Purim, Ma'anos and Metachas, they're allowed to do both Ma'anos and Metachas, because Rosh Chodesh and Chanukah and Purim are not as strict as Chol HaMoed. Vazel, however, on both of these, on Rosh Chodesh and Chanukah and Purim, they're not allowed to do Mekoinonos, which the Mishnah is going to define soon what that is. Nikbar HaMess, once the mess was buried, and this applies on all those days, Loi Ma'anos, Loi Metachas, then they're not allowed to do any of these expressions of grief anymore. Neither the Ma'anos nor the Metachas. Ezehu Inui, what is the definition of Inui? We said that Noshim Amoyed Ma'anos, and we said that on Noshim Chodoshim and Chanukah and Purim, they are allowed to be Ma'anos. So that would be Shekulam Oynos Ka'achas, that would be when all the women say, something together. The Gemara is going to give us examples of some of the elegies and some of the things that they would say in order to arouse people's emotions. So that's Inui is when they all say it together. And Kina is Sha'achas Minaderes Bekulam Onis Achareva. Kina would be one of them says something and all of them answer after her. So that's a greater degree, so that shows a greater degree of Avelos. So therefore we said on Rosh Chodesh, Chanukah, and Purim, they were allowed to do Ma'anos, but not Mekoninus. On Rosh Chodesh, on Chol HaMoed, we said also they can only do Ma'anos, they can't do Mekoninus. So Kina would be a more severe thing, and therefore they can't do that on any of those days. Where do we see Shenema, as the Pasuk says, we can see that Kina involves one woman saying something and everybody else answering after her. Shenema, the Pasuk says, it's an Aftodah of Tisha B'Av, V'lamedna b'nei sechem nevi, teach your daughters wailing, the isha ru'usa kina, and each woman should teach her friend how to do kina, how to do a mourning. So we see, in other words, that it involves isha ru'usa, that the one woman says, and all the other women answer after her. And the Mishnah finishes off on a nicer note, in order not to end the Masechta on a sad note like that with the word kina. So the Mishnah said, and Tosfos points out, actually, that according to Tosfos's version, Moed Katan is actually the last Masechta of Seder Moed. Now, according to the Rambam, we still have Chagiga to go, which is the next Masechta we're going to be learning. But according to Tosfos, Moed Katan is actually the last Masechta of Seder Moed, and therefore, particularly, the Tana wanted to finish on a good note. So the Aval La'osid, Lavei Ho'omer, in the future, when Mashiach comes, it says, by contrast, we won't need Kina, Bila HaMavis L'Netzach, Hashem will swallow up death forever, U'macha Hashem Elokim Dima Me'al Kaponim V'Gomer, and Hashem will wipe off tears from everybody's faces. So there won't be this Kina and any of these kinds of things anymore. So the Gemara starts off. My Omron, what's an example of something that the women would say in these Ma'anos or Mekoninus, which we're saying that there's restrictions on what they can do as far as that during Chol HaMoed and Chanukah and Purim and so forth. Omar Rav, so Rav says, Vaila Ozla Vaila Chavila. Woe to the one who goes, woe to the Chavila. Now with this and all and a number of the other ones that we're going to quote over here, there's a number of different explanations for each one of them among the Rishonim. So the word chavila can have two meanings. It can mean a package, and it can mean a debt. So therefore a mashpin. So therefore, so one explanation is so we have very little Rashi over here, as you can see, and what we do have is not always so clear. The Rashi Ksavyad, which includes also Rashi on the Rif and on Ein Yaakov and whatever, explains things much better. Agos Ma'arav Ransberg on the bottom of the Omud brings many of those things. So Vaila Chavila can mean woe. So Vaila Ozla Vaila Chavila can mean woe to the one who goes, the nifter, and Vaila Chavila, woe to this kind of package, like it has to be carried around by people like a package. It can also mean, La Chavila, it can also mean that Meloshin Pikodin, so Rabbi Nachmanel explains, woe to the person who has a mashkin and now has to give it back, meaning in other words, his neshama, which was a Pikodin by him, Hashem had deposited by him for safekeeping, and now he has to return it. And then some other Rishonim say a variation on that also, that Chavila means a mashkin, but they say, in other words, how sad it is when a person passes away and he or his family are left with debt. So Omar Rava, so Rava says, Noshi Gishansiv Amran Hochi, the women in Shansiv, the name of a place in Babel, used to say that. Vaila Azla, Vaila Chavila, like Rav is saying that they say. And then Rava brings a number of other things that these women from Shachansiv would say at Levias, would say as Kinois and as Inui or Kinois or whatever, as we said in our Mishnah. The Gemara mentions elsewhere, by the way, the Gemara mentions in Psachim that the people of Shachansiv were Leitzim. A Let is somebody who, it means a mocker or a scoffer. So it means people like they don't take things seriously enough, like everything to them is a joke. But we see in the Gemara over here, nevertheless, so they had the part of being a letz is sometimes having a way with words. It's like you think of a nice witty answer or a nice witty statement to make to somebody to make a point of yours. So here we see in the Gemara that even though that was the case, nevertheless, they still had the fact that they knew how to turn a phrase nicely. Some of the turns of phrase were they had meaning to them, and therefore the Gemara is going to bring them, and therefore the Gemara is going to bring them. So the Omar Rava, Noshi the Shchans of Amran, the women of Shchansiv say, good garma mikocha, pull away the bone from the jaw, the nimti mayel antichi, and bring water to antichi. So what does that mean? It's a little, very hard to understand. The Mephoshim have a lot of different explanations on it. Rashi says, good dharma mikocha means that the cheeks, the jaws of the nifter have fallen off, and then the water goes back up, lamayla. In other words, they're saying, realize what happened. This person has passed away. He no longer needs to eat or drink, essentially. The Oruch brings a couple of explanations about it. One of them, Rabbi Hanano brings one of them, that it means, in other words, once the sick person stops eating, then his fever starts going up. And an antichi is a type of samovar. So then his body, and including even the water that comes out of him, his urine, starts becoming hot like the water in an antichi, like the water in a samovar. So in other words, they're expressing with that how it is in a person's last days where their body is falling apart. Different other Rishonim talk about different other possibilities. Another one, the Me'iri says, we're talking about a person who passed away without children. So they say, take one tooth of his and keep it as a keepsake and bring water to wash him, and that way at least we'll have what to remember him by. So in other words, they would say that by the funeral of a person who passed away without children, with the idea being, in other words, in order to arouse everybody's emotions and realize what a tragedy it is that this person didn't even leave a child behind. There's several other explanations among the Rishonim as well. Interestingly, in the Sansin, the old Sansino Gemaras, they have an interesting possible translation of it, that it means that up until now, a kocha would be a pot like for soup. So therefore, it means like take the bones out of the soup pot. Now you don't need to feed them anymore. Instead, put water in the kettle, in the antichi, in the samovar to warm up water in order to wash it. Anyway, again, the idea would be in order to arouse everybody's emotions and realize what happened over here. That this is a serious thing that a person passed away, and take it and maybe especially in Shansiv, as we're saying, since they relate to him, maybe particularly over there, the women need to do these kinds of things in order to make people realize this is no joke. You got to take this seriously. The Amar Rava, another one Rava says, Noshi de Shansiv Amran, the women of Shansiv say, Atoif b'chasu turi, wrap up and cover yourselves and cover the mountains, de bar Rami or bar Rav Revihu, because he, the person who's being buried, is a son of exalted people and a son of great people. So again, there are several explanations. It can mean, in other words, that the women are speaking to the mountains as if personified and telling them, even you mountains should be sad and should be wrapping yourselves in mourning over this person who passed away. It can mean that they're telling the people, go gather on the mountains, as if like you're covering, as if like you're covering the mountains in, with a huge number of people to be by the Levaya in honor of the Nifter. Or it can mean also that she's speaking to the people themselves, calling them mountains, as in great people who are high and exalted like mountains, wrap yourselves in mourning in honor of this person who passed away. But Omar Rava, so apparently the idea was when they said to Bar Rami or Bar Ravihu, so they would be saying this by the Levaya of a person from a Yuchistika family. Some of the Mephoshim also point out in those times, we've learned before, they used to bury people in burial caves. They would hollow out a cave in the ground or in the side of a mountain and bury them there. So therefore, that's why she's addressing, that's why these women would address themselves to the mountains, because the mountains are where the Nifter is going to be buried. But Amar Rava, another one Rava says, Nashi the Shans of Amran, Shayul Itzel of the Milsel of Bar Chor and the Shlimut Zavdei, Shayul, now the word Shayul itself also can have two different meanings. It can mean borrow, and it can mean, or look around for, and it can mean Sha'ol as in the grave. So one way is, So one way of understanding it then would be Shayol, it's the Lord Milsil, Bar Chorin, the Sha'ol, the grave, is like a robe of fine wool, the Bar Chorin, the Shlimu Zavdeh, for Bar Chorin, a person who used to be rich, the Shlimu Zavdeh, where now his provisions have been used up. In other words, he's been poor. So Rashi explains that we're talking about over here a person who used to be rich and now is poor. So the Kina, they would say, by such a person's Levaya, was that now, that he passed away, it's kind of better off for him. It's as good for him as a robe, as clothing of fine wool, of high quality wool, because now he used up all his money and now he doesn't have what to live off of. So therefore he's almost like he's better off dead. And the idea would be, in other words, that they would do that, Rabbi Hananel explains fairly similarly, and the idea would be, that they would say that in order to, not just to arouse people's emotions, Nebuch, the guy passed away poor, but also in order to arouse people, you know what, we gotta contribute. He passed away without any money, without any nechassim, so everybody pitch in to, everybody chip in order to buy tachrichim and the other necessities that we need for his levaya. So a different explanation. Shayol can mean to borrow, like you have to. Again, the idea is the shlimu zavde, he used up all his possessions. He's poor now, so now like we have to go and borrow or go and find a robe in order to wrap him in for tachrichim. Same idea, in other words, that it means that it's a way of informing people this guy was poor. Better start taking up a collection of tzedakah to pay for the expenses of his levaya. The women of Shchantsev say, Rohit benofal amabra, he was running, and then he fell on the Mabra. Mabra can mean a ferry, or it can mean a bridge. So in other words, like the passage from one world to the next, from this world to the next world. So he was running along, and he fell on the bridge, or he fell on the passageway. The Yezoif to Yazif, and he's been borrowing money. So Hagos Marab Ranchburg brings from this Rashi Ksav Yad that it means that this guy, they would say this kind of thing for a person who throughout his life was a merchant. He's always running around from one place to another to do business and to earn money. And now he passed away on the place where he's going from this world to the next world, he fell down and now he still owes debts. So you again, and we have to borrow money for tachrichim. So again, that would be a way of informing the olam that the guy, even though he was a merchant and he was doing business throughout his life, but now he's poor, and now therefore we need to help him out and collect tzedakah for his levaya. Another one, Rabbi Hananel says a little bit differently, that it means also that he's been trying to do, and he's doing business throughout his whole life, and look at this, you know, now eventually he passed away, and there's no more of that, now it's like, he can't do business anymore, as if like he has to even borrow money to pay the ferry, so to speak, to go into the next world, because in other words, a person passed away, they don't take any of their wealth with them. So that would be a way also of telling people Look at this. This guy may have been a successful business person and an industrious businessman all his life, but now after 120, now he's gone and he doesn't do that anymore. So to make people realize that running around and earning money is not what life is all about. But Amar Rav, Noshi Shchantz of Amra, and another thing the women of Shchantz say, Achona Tagri Azabzabi Mivdiku. Our brothers, the merchants, are checked at the Zavzabi. So again, several possibilities. One of them is that Zavzagi means at the end. So at the end, when they pass away, then they're checked, and we see how much they actually have. In this case, actually, we find that after all, even though he seemed to be very successful during his lifetime, he was a merchant, but nevertheless, now he's not, and he doesn't have enough money. And again, the idea would be in order to stir people to go and give money for his tachrichim and his kvura. Rabbi Hanano gives a different girsa, not as zazagi, but as zavuni, that merchants are checked about what they sold. When a merchant goes to the Olam HaEmes, one of the first questions he's asked, did he do business honestly? And therefore, so they're checked about what they bought and sold. Were they always doing honestly? In fact, he refers to a Gemara in Erevin that says that the famous Gemara that says that a person can be known, that the truth of a person can be known by three things: the kosei, the kisei, the kasei, by how a person acts when he's in his cups, when he's drunk, by how a person acts with his money, is he honest, and how a person acts when he's angry. So therefore, in other words, they were saying, as far as the merchants, we can see who they really are by looking at their business deals, and that's how they're judged after 120. And the last one, the Omar Rava, Noshi the Shchantz of Amran, the women of Shchantz say, Moisa keep Moisa, one death is like another, in other words, everybody passes away eventually, Umar in Chibulaya, but the sicknesses are the Chibulaya. Now, what does that mean? Rashi says a strange statement that's hard to understand, how Isurin hein babayis, the Isurin are in the house, or the different girsay in Rashi, how Isurin hein royim, the Isurim are bad. So according to that, umarin means the chibulaya would mean the Isurin, marin are very bad. Now there's a whole different, Maharsha says, when you look at the Rashis over here that you have on the Gemara, he says, I don't understand them, Bechlal. And this is why we have the Rashi Ksavyad and various other Mephoshim that help fill it in. So Rashi Ksavyad says that they would say this kind of kina, this kind of hesed on a person who passed away with much more yisurim than average. So they would say his death was a death like any other. In other words, he passed away, everybody passed away, but he had particularly severe yisurim more than other people. Umarin chibulaya, his chaval, his wounds and his suffering was much worse than most other people have. When Rashi says ya yisurim hein babayis, then it might mean the same kind of thing. He says that it means, in other words, like his suffering was all internal. You couldn't see it on the outside, but nevertheless, he suffered tremendously, even though not everybody knew about it. A different possibility that a number of Mephoshim say is the word is not supposed to be babayis, but rather ribis. The word chibulaya, like we said before, can mean a mashkin. It can also mean ribis. In Targum Onkelos, for example, in a couple of places where the Torah says it's also to take ribis, translates it with a word similar to chibulaya. So therefore, it would mean that they're saying the death is a death. Everybody eventually passed away. But the suffering is like the ribis, like the extra interest that Hashem charges a person. So in other words, again, the idea would be to arouse rachmanos for the person. The poor guy went through so much, he suffered so much, that now it's not only did he have to, so to speak, pay back the loan, but he even had to pay it back with interest of all that suffering. So these are all various things that these women of Shchantziv would say at Levayis in order to arouse people's emotions, in order to get them to contribute where necessary, and so forth. The Gemara continues, Tanya Hoyer of Meir Omer. It says in a pasuk, "Toiv lalachas el beis ovel." It's better to go to the house of an ovel rather than going to a party. And the pasuk continues, "Ad v'chayit in a libay." And the pasuk continues, "The living should take it to heart." And we know this phrase "v'chayit in libay" that ever quoted innumerable times in this connection. For example, in particular, in connection with Rebbe Chaim Mushka. Anyway, what does that mean? V'chayit in a liver, Reb Meir says, the pasuk says, dvorim shal misa. A person should keep in mind matters involving misa and realize eventually it's going to come for them as well. And therefore, the yasped yaspedune, a person who does has spayed him for others, then eventually they'll do it for him when the time comes. The yifbo yifbarune, when a person helps bury other people, eventually they'll bury him. The yitan yitanune, one who carries, who helps carry the mess, eventually they'll carry him himself. The Yedal, the one who lifts up his voice in a hesped, Yidlune, they'll do the same thing. They'll lift up their voices in his honor when he goes. So in other words, a person should realize, v'achayit and a liver, don't think, well, this has nothing to do with me. I'm young and healthy and I'll live forever, as young people sometimes think. No, realize that eventually it comes for every person, and therefore make sure while you're alive to do these kinds of chesed shel emes, as we know, for other people, and eventually they'll do it for you as well. We're going to learn later this year, that's the Shem and Ksubas, that actually for that reason, you have even a din in that connection, that if a husband tells his wife, I don't want you to leave the house, I don't want you to go to any Levias or whatever, then that's a valid reason for her to go to Beis Din and demand a get. Because she can say, you know what, if I don't do that for other people, then nobody's going to do that for me when I go, and therefore you have no right to stop me from doing that. Okay, so the last one we said was the Yedal Yidlune, the one who lifts up his voice. Others will lift up their voices in his honor. So the Ikad Amri, another version is that actually that last one is the Lo Yedal Yidlune. Rather, the expression should be the one who does not lift himself up high, the one who doesn't hold himself too high and proud to go and help at other people's levayas. Yidlune, they will eventually lift him up. Or it means not necessarily just specifically levayas. In general, if a person doesn't hold himself too high, then eventually he will be lifted up. Dichtiv, as the pasuk says, Ki tov amalecha aleihena v'gomer, the pasuk says it's better that they tell you to go up here rather than, the pasuk continues, Me'ashpilcha lifnei nodiv asher ro'u einecha, than that you should have to be humbled in front of the rich person, which you saw. In other words, you can have, the pasuk is describing, you hold yourself low, and eventually they tell you, Aleihena, you come up over here, you are getting elevated to a high position, rather than the other way around, where you're going to hold yourself high, and they're going to have to tell you, Mashpilcha, they're going to have to tell you, go lower. So therefore, so according to that, the Lo Yedo Yidlune is telling a person, make sure to be on of, and eventually, if there's going to be covered in Gdula coming to you, then it'll come to you, but rather than the other way around, where you're going to act high and mighty, and eventually then you may lose that. Tana Rabbanan, we learn in a Braisa, going back to the topic of Levayas and sitting Shiva, Shemesu Bonav Shir Rabbi Shmuel, when Rabbi Shmuel's sons passed away, the first one and then the other, Nichnesu Dalad Skenim Lamachmai, four of the Skenim, four of the Chachamim of the previous generation came to be Menachem Avol, Rabbi Tarfin, Rabbi Yisrael Glili, Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Akiva. So before they go in, Omer Lahem Rabbi Tarfin, Du'u Shechacham Gadolhu, you should be aware that Rabbi Shmuel is a great Talmud Chacham, Ubaki Ba'agadus, and he's an expert in Agadah. Therefore, Ayukonis Echad Mikem, L'Sech Divrei Chaveroi, none of you should go into somebody else's words. Now, what does that mean? The Ran says it means, make sure that neither of you repeat a point that the previous one said, because other than it will just be a tzircha for him. Maybe Shmuel is very expert in Agadah. So if two of you end up saying the same thing, then it's going to just be a waste of Rabbi Shmuel's time. Marsha explained differently what Rabbi Tarfin is telling them. Don't get involved in arguing. One person is going to say something and the other one is going to point out a question in it, because since Rabbi Shmuel is Baki and Agadah, he's going to end up joining the discussion as well, and he's an Ovel. He's not allowed to do Talmud Torah. So Omer Rabbi Akiva v'ani achron. So Rabbi Akiva says, I'll be the last one. It can be as a matter of anivus that he's saying I'm willing to go last, or it can be that he's saying that if the Ran is saying each of you make sure to say something different. So Rabbi Akiva says I'm going to go last, and don't worry, I'll find something different that'll be different than everybody else. So they came there to be Menachem Avol. Pasach Rabbi Shmuel v'Amar. Rabbi Shmuel started the conversation, which we're going to say further down on the Amud, that when you go to be Menachem Avol, the Avol is supposed to be the one who starts the conversation. You don't speak to him until the Avol starts speaking. Rabbi Shmuel, the Oval, started speaking. But Omar, and he said, Rabu Avinoisav, his Averus, meaning speaking about himself, his Averus are many. Takfu Avelov, his Avelos came one after the other, because his one son passed away, and then not long after that, the other one, maybe it was even within the Shiva. He triach rabbeisa pam rishon ushnia. He was matriach his rabbeim to come and be menachem avol him a first and a second time. And the Rabbi Shmuel is expressing with this how bad he feels. Not only not only he lost two of his children, but he has to be matriach the chachamim to come and be menachem avol him twice. Now that he said that, now they could each start saying what they wanted to say for Nicham Avelim. And you have to realize, by the way, I mean, you know, Nicham Avelim is not only sometimes, yeah, you come to a Shiva house, you say to the person, I'm Mokka Minacham, and not that. I mean, that's really kind of the end of things. You know, first you engage them in conversation, you say something about the Nifter that'll make them feel better, you whatever. Then at the end, you say, I'm Mokka Minacham. So the same way each of them is saying something in praise of the Niftarim and to make Rabbi Shmuel feel better. So Nenir of Tarfin V'Omar, of Tarfin started speaking and quoted a pasuk when Nadav and Avihu passed away. The pasuk says, "Va'achechem kol beis Yisrael yivku es asreifa." Your brothers, the whole house of Israel, should cry for the burning that was done. In other words, Hashem is telling Aaron and Nadav and Avihu, you don't prava avelos because you're kohenim serving in the Beis Mikdash, and therefore you're not, and doing the Yimei Amiluim. But instead, the rest of the Jewish people will cry about the tragedy. So, Reb Tarfin said, now let's make a kavachomer over here. Uman Nadav Avihu shaloi osu ala mitzvah achas. Nadav and Avihu only did one mitzvah. Now, we don't mean in their whole life they only did one mitzvah. Of course not. What we mean, there's one mitzvah that the Torah records about them, that it says that they did, or in particular that they've done on that day. Yichtiv vayakrivu b'nei Aaron eshabjom elav. Earlier, the pasuk says when they bring the korbanos of the eighth day of the Miluim, it says that Aaron's sons handed over the blood to him, so that he could sprinkle it on the Mizbeach. Kach, and still we see that in the schus of that one mitzvah, the whole Jewish people are supposed to cry and mourn for them. Bono, should Rabbi Shmuel, Allah's time of Kama, how much more so than Rabbi Shmuel's children, who did many mitzvahs, how much more so that all the Jewish people are joining in your Avelis, Rabbi Shmuel? Then Rabbi Yosef really bombed. Then Rabbi Yosef really spoke up to say what he was going to say. But Omar, he quoted a pasuk from Malachim. The pasuk says about at one point a son of Yerovam named Avia was sick, and Yerovam sent his wife to Achia Shiloini to ask for nevuah and a bracha that the child would recover. And the navi answers her with a very harsh nevuah about what's going to happen to Yerovam and his family because of the Averis that Yerovam done. He was Choyte Umachtiya Sarabim, he put in the Egwe Azov, whatever, but he tells her, on the other hand, this one child, Avia, is going to be different than the others. So the rest of the family is going to be destroyed and their bodies are going to be eaten by the dogs, etc. But the Navi says, as far as this one child, he is going to pass away. The Sofdalai Kol Yisrael will cover away. So the entire Jewish people will mourn for him and they'll bury him. And the pasuk continues because he did one good thing. So now Rabbi Yosef really says we can make a kavachomer. Uma Avia ben Yerovam shall also have a dover echad toiv. Madoch this Avia ben Yerovam who only did one good thing. Now again, maybe he did other good things as well, but we only have one good thing recorded in the pasuk that he did. Dichtiv ve'yah nimtza by dover toiv, as in fact the Navi expresses it to Yerovam's wife, the mother of Avia. He says, because there was found one good thing in him, we're going to explain in a second what the one good thing was, kach, and still we see that the Navi is saying that he gets such honor that the entire Jewish people mourn for him and help bury him. Bonav, Rabbi Shmuel, Allah's kama v'kama, how much more so than Rabbi Shmuel's children, who have done many mitzvahs, that they deserve that kind of covered from the Jewish people. So the Gemara interjects, my Dover Toiv, what was that one good thing that Avia ben Yerovam did? So Rav Zera and Rav Chinen Abba Papa. Rav Zera and Rav Chinen Abba Papa argue what it was. Chad Omer Shebitul Mishmar Toiv Allah. One says that it means that he stopped his Mishmeres, his guarding, and went on Aliyah L'Rebbe. We know that one of the things Yerovam did when he set up the Egle Azov, he also set up guards on the roads to prevent people from going to Yerushalayim. We learned previously in Masechta Tainis that eventually, hundreds of years later, the last king of Israel, Hoshea ben Ela, was mevachel them on Chamisha Asar B'Av, and that's one of the reasons why we celebrate that day as a Yom Tov. So now, Yerovam had set up these guards, and one of the guards was this Aviah. So Aviah had... Aviah left his post, he left his mishmo, he left the place where he was assigned to guard, and went to go on Aliyah L'Regel. So that's one. V'chad Omer, Shebito Pardesoris, Shoshiv Yeravim of Aladrachim, Sholayala Yisrael L'Regel. The other one is that not only he himself left, but he was Mevatel, the guards that his father Yeravim put on the ways that the Jewish people shouldn't be Olu L'Regel. So in other words, obviously he wasn't Mevatel them permanently. We said they continued during the reigns of the next, of all the next kings until Hoshea ben Ela. But what we mean is, in other words, at the time, not only he himself went on Aliyah L'Regel, but he got some other guards to abandon their positions as well. So either way, whether it was just him himself or whether it was others, that was the Davar Tov for which he had this chus, that therefore everybody did a hesped and everybody helped bury him. So therefore, so again, Rabbi Yisrael really is saying, Alakas Kama V'Kama, Rabbi Shmuel's children who did many more mitzvahs. Nenir of Elazar ben Azariah v'Amar. Then Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah spoke up and said another word. The pasuk says, regarding Tzidkiyahu, the Yirmiyahu Anavi tells him, the Shalom Tomus, you will pass away in peace. He's telling him, in other words, that the Kastim are going to capture Yerushalayim and destroy the Beis Mikdash and take you into Golos, etc. But he tells him, the Shalom Tomus, you will pass away in peace. Over Misrafos Avisecha Malachim Rishonim Ashahoyot Banacha, the same kind of burning as they did for your ancestors, the previous kings who were before you, Cain Yisrafulach, so also they will make that kind of burning for you. They used to, the Minhag was, the Gemara tells us in Avodah Zarah, at a king's funeral, they would burn his clay tashmishoy, his personal effects, as a simon, like he's so great, nobody else can use these things. These things are reserved for him alone, and they would burn them in a ceremony. So therefore, so the Navi is telling Tzidkiyahu that even though you're going to be taken into Babel as a prisoner, you're going to pass away. When you pass away, you're going to be honored like a king should be, like the previous kings before you were. So Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah says, "V'aloi dvarim kavachomer." Umat Tzidkiyahu Melech Yehuda shalai osa ela mitzvah achas madach Tzidkiyahu, who only did one mitzvah. Now again, we don't mean he did only one mitzvah in his lifetime. Tosfos points out that the Gemara in a few other places says that he was tzaddik gomer, but this is the only mitzvah that we actually find in the pasuk described about him, which happened shortly before these events, before Yirmiyahu was talking to him. So what was the one mitzvah? Shahela Yirmiyah min atzit, that he got Yirmiyah out of the mud. The psukim describe over there how some of the enemies of Yirmiyah, he had many enemies among the Jewish people, including among the noblemen. They didn't like that he's giving Nevuah a disaster. They didn't like that he's telling the people, including Tzidkiyahu himself, to surrender to the Kastim and that way save their lives and save the city. So therefore, so the pasuk describes how at one point they threw him into a pit full of mud, and Yirmiyahu almost drowned over there. And then somebody named Eben Melech HaKushi, which we talked about earlier in the parak, we mentioned him. We said that Melech HaKushi refers to Tzidkiyahu himself. Anyway, somebody named Eben Melech HaKushi went and told Tzidkiyahu what's going on, and Tzidkiyahu gave orders to have Yirmiyahu pulled out of the pit. So for that one schus that he did, Kach, he got such honor that he was buried with all the royal honors. Bono, should Rabbi Shmuel, Allah has kama v'kama, so Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah says how much more so Rabbi Shmuel's children, they deserve much more cover than that, because they did many mitzvahs. Then Nene Rabbi Akiva v'omar, then Rabbi Akiva spoke up and said he was going to be last. So he says, the pasuk says in Zechariah, Vayoymahu, on that day, Yigdal ha-mispeh Yerushalayim, the mourning is going to be tremendous in Yerushalayim, k'mispad hadad rimon v'vikas megidon. Like the mourning for Hadar Rimon in the valley of Megiddo. So before we understand what Rabbi Akiva is bringing that pasuk for, first we have to understand what the pasuk itself is saying. So for Amar Rabbi Yosef, so Rabbi Yosef says, "Umole Targuma Da'ikra." If it weren't for the Targum Yonasan on that pasuk, Loi Havi Yadina My Koma, we wouldn't understand. Where do we ever find that there was someone named Hadad Rimon who was mourned in the valley of Megiddo? That the pasuk should be comparing it to. So what it means is, the Targum teaches it out. the idonahu at that time. So we're talking about la'asid lavoi. The Gemara in Sukkah brings two possibilities. Either it's that they're mourning for Mashiach ben Yosef who's killed, or it's that they're mourning that the Yetzirah is killed, and they and the tzaddikim and the rishoyim, the Gemara says, are all crying over there. The tzaddikim are crying, how were we ever able to overcome this tremendous mountain, the Yetzirah? And the rishoyim are crying, how were we not able to overcome this tiny little thread? Anyway, so what does it mean? Kemisvat hadadrimim, because tadmirim. So it means the donahu at that time for Mashiach ben Yosef or for the Yetzirah, as the case may be, yiske misvat of Yerushalayim. The mourning will be tremendous in Yerushalayim. Kemisvat of the Achav by Omri, like the mourning for Achav, the son of Omri, King Achav. The koto yosei hadadrimim by tadrimim. Who had that Rimon, which is another name for Ben Hadad, the king of Aram, killed him. There was a battle over there in Ramos Gilad, and Achav was killed. So therefore, so afterwards, when he was killed, then they had a tremendous hesped, they had a tremendous funeral for him, and everybody was crying and mourning for him. So that's how that Rimon refers to that. Uchemisved the Yoshi of Aramon. And also, like the mourning there was for Yoshia, the son of Amon, the king Yoshiyahu, the koto yosei pare chagira, the bikas Megiddo, where pare nechoi, pare the lane, killed him in the valley of Megiddo. So both of those times, in other words, there was a tremendous hesped and tremendous mourning for them. So therefore, so we're saying that the mourning in Yerushalayim, la'asid lavoi, is going to be like those mournings. Marsha points out, the pasuk continues when it talks about that mourning, la'asid lavoi, it uses the expression, kemisped ala yochid. It'll be like the mourning that you do for an individual, meaning like literally it means like a ben yochid or something, but in other words, the Gemara is darshining, and Yonis ben Azil is explaining in his Targum that what it means is, when do we find, particularly when there was a tremendous mourning for an individual who was killed in a battle where you might have expected that many other Jews were killed as well, and that is, we find that Achav was the only one killed in that battle, and apparently Yoshiyahu was the only one killed in his battle. So therefore it mentions particularly those two. Anyway, so Valo Dvarim Kavachomer, so Rav Akiva says again. So now that we, so he didn't have to mention that whole Targum in his Drasha for Pashtos. He's just saying when he said the pasuk, they all knew what it meant. So he says Valo Dvarim Kavachomer. Uma Achav Melech Yisrael Shalei Osei Alav Dover Achav Tzoriv. Madoch Achav, who only did one good thing. And again, here we're going to focus, in other words, on one particular good thing that he did shortly before that. Namely, it says, so Achav was struck by an arrow and badly wounded, but he didn't want everybody to know that he was wounded in that battle, because then everybody would panic and run away and many other Jews might get killed. So he strengthened himself and he was standing over there in the chariot, pretending like he's still okay. Noichach Aram, opposite Aram. So he pretended like he's still okay, so everybody doesn't know what's going on. And kach, for that he had the schus that he was buried with a tremendous hesped, that the many people were sad about when he passed away. Bono, should Rabbi Shmuel, Allah's kama, how much more so, says Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Shmuel's children deserve much greater cover than that because they did many mitzvahs. So the Gemara says, now we have to understand, by Tzidkiyahu, we just quoted the pasuk that the Navi told him that you're going to die in peace. But the pasuk says that when Tzidkiyahu was captured by Nebuchadnezzar's soldiers, he was brought to Nebuchadnezzar, and Nebuchadnezzar blinded him. What kind of a b'sholem tomus is that? So Rabbi Bamori tells him, Hochi Amar Rabbi Yechanan, Shemes Nebuchadnezzar b'yamav. Means with the fact that Tzidkiyahu died in peace is Nebuchadnezzar died during his lifetime, so he didn't get to see because he was blind, but he got to know about that his tormentor Nebuchadnezzar had been killed. In fact, the Gemara talks about elsewhere that when Nebuchadnezzar died, not everybody believed that he was dead, because many years earlier you had the part where he went crazy and he ran away into the forest and lived like an animal for a while. So therefore now when he's dead, not everybody believed he was dead. So his son Elul Moroidah actually had to pull the body out of the grave and drag it all over the place, and then everybody believed he was dead. So therefore, so Tzidkiyahu got to see, got to know about all of that, and therefore it's called B'sholem Thomas. But Omar Rava or Rava Bamori, also Rava asked Rava Bamori, apparently Rava Bamori was their local expert on Tanakh. We find many places where Rava asked some questions about Psukim. Ksid baby Yeshiyahu lochen hinini or sifcha alabisecha. By Yeshiyahu, The pasuk says, because you did tshuva, when they found the Sefer Torah in the Bis Mikdash, and Yeshua was in a tizzy and did tshuva, so because of that, he says, therefore I'll gather you together with your fathers, you'll be gathered into your grave in peace. So in other words, he's going to pass away in a peaceful time. But the pasuk describes how Yeshayahu was killed in battle. The archers shot at Yeshayahu, and it wasn't just a regular shooting. They shot him so many times, they made him like a sieve, full of holes. So how is that b'shalom? Amalei, so Rabbi Amari tells him, and this is what Rabbi Yechanan said, the Shalom is Shalai Chora Bes Mikdash B'yamav, that the Bes Mikdash was not destroyed during his time. That's that he passed away, the Shalom. Okay. Amar Rabbi Yechanan, getting back to Dinim of Avelos and Sitting Shiva, Ein Menachem in Rashoyin Loima Dava Ad Sheyiftach Oval. The Menachem, the people who came to be Menachem Oval, are not allowed to say anything until the Oval starts speaking. Shenemar, as we find by Eov, they have all the disasters happened to him, and his friends came to be Menachem Oval, and the pasuk is Achrechein, after that, Pasach Eov is Piyu, Eov opened his mouth. On the side of it, here, Gunza Girsa also, which the Ramban and others have, that before that, it says, Ein Dover, Elav Dover, nobody saying anything to him. Then it says, Achrechein, Pasach Eov is Piyu, that Eov opened his mouth, Vahodar, and only after Eov says something, only then, Vayan Alifaz Atimoni, only then does it begin that Alifaz, the first one of the friends, starts speaking. Another din, Omer Ababahu, Minayin lo Oval Shemesh Beroish, how do we know that an oval sits at the head of the table when they're eating? Shenemar, the Pasuk says, also a Pasuk in Eov, Eov is describing how good things used to be for him. He says, Evchad Darkom, I used to be choosing people's places, like I would tell them what to do, the Eshev Roish, and I would sit up ahead, the Eshken Kemelech Begdud, I would dwell like a king among his soldiers, like on an exalted level. Kasher Avelim Yenachim, like the Avelim, he comforts. So we see, in other words, it's comparing the Avelim, that it's saying that the Avelim sit up ahead. So the question is Yenachim Achrini Mashma. The word Yenachim, just the opposite, means that he's comforting others. So maybe it means one of the comforters sits at the head of the table. Omer of Nachman, it's called Yenachim Ksil. Yes, but it's written, the word Yenachim is written without Nekudis, and therefore it can be read as Yenachim, he is comforted. So the one who is being comforted is the one who sits at the head of the table. Tosfos refers over here to something that they explain. There's a Gemara in Ksubas that also mentions this point. And Tosfos explains over there, if it weren't for the Drosha, then the Pasuk would have said, Kasher Avelim Minachim. And then it would be clear that we mean that other people are being comforted. Since it says Yenachim, then therefore that allows us to darshan it as if it said Yenachim. Marzutra Amar Mehocha. Marzutra says, I have a different source in a Pasuk for this. The Pasuk says, V'sor Mirzach Tzuruchim. The Mirzach of the Tzuruchim is, the simple meaning of V'sor Mirzach Tzuruchim means that the drinking of the Tzuruchim, of the people who are sprawled out on their beds, is going to stop. But the Gemara is doubting that V'sor is Meloshin Tsar, a leader. Mirzach means the oval. Rashi in Ksubas over there explains that an oval is mar, he's bitter, and zoch, like he's not himself, he's like moved away, like he's moved away from the way he normally feels and acts. So therefore, an oval can be called mirzach. And sruchim, also Rashi says a couple of possibilities over there. Sruchim can mean the others, like you have by the Yerias HaMishkan, the Serach HaOidef, the Yerias HaOil, means the leftover part of the Yerias. So the word Seruchim can mean the leftover. It can also mean the great ones, because you have the Yerias over there are larger, and therefore they hang over. So anyway, so what it says, so Marzeach, so the Oval, who's called Marzeach, Nasa Sair LeSeruchim, he becomes the leader over the Seruchim, the other people, or the great people, and therefore he sits at the head of the table. So in this connection, another person who sits at the head of the table, Amar Rav Chama bar Chanina, Minayin l'chosin shemeis b'roish, how do we know that the chosin sits at the head of the table? Shenema, k'chosin yichahin pe'er. The pasuk describes like a chosin who acts as a kohen with glory. So ma kohen b'roish, just like a kohen sits at the head of the table, a chosin b'roish, the same way a chosin. A kohen gufin min olon, so how do we know a kohen himself, that he's given that honor? So the Tanit, Veda Bishmal, because the pasuk says, V'kidashto, you should make the Kohen holy, which means V'chol Davar Shebekdusha, regarding every matter of Kedusha. Liftoyach Rishon, the Kohen should be the first one to start. For example, he gets the first Aliyah. Ulavorech Rishon, he makes the first bracha. Rashi says, meaning Birkas HaMazin, you honor a Kohen with leading Mizuman. The little Mana Yofer Rishon, and to take a good portion first, meaning that if Yisrael is giving out portions of food, he should give a nice portion first to the Kohen ahead of everybody else. Tosfos discusses, can the Kohen take it himself? Anyway, so we see that the Kohen, among other things, is given such honors, including sitting by the head of the table, so therefore so is a chassid. The Gemara continues, Amar Rav Chanina, kosher yitzias neshama min aguf, kitzipori b'pi avesh. The neshama going out of the body is as difficult as a tzipori going out of the vesh. Rashi describes that a tzipori is a rope with a knot in it, and there'll be a hole in the front edge of the boat where you put the rope in order to tie up the boat. So that rope with a knot, it goes out only with great difficulty from the hole. The same way, in other words, the neshama leaves the body only with great difficulty. Now, we learned yesterday that we said there were chachamim, well, it wasn't like that. It was kemishcha b'nisa mechelba, like when you're taking a hair out of a glass of milk, where it goes easily. So here we're talking about the average person, whereas there we were talking about tzaddik. Rabbi Yechanan am a kiptiri b'pivesh. Rabbi Yechanan says it's even harder than that. It's like a ptiri going out of the hole in the boat, where ptiri is, Rashi says, we have a rope used to tie two boats together. That one also is very, very difficult to get out. In Brachas, this Gemara is also in Brachas, Rashi explains it differently, that Tiri B'Fivesh means, Rashi says, there are places in the ocean where if a boat goes over there, which is made with metal nails, it won't be able to go. Apparently, like, there are magnets in the water over there and under sea, and therefore the boat will fall apart. So what do you do in such places? You have boats that are held together with ropes that are tightly stuffed into holes, pegs that are tightly stuck into holes in order to hold the boat together. So to take out one of those, obviously, is going to be very difficult. That's what we're describing, that the neshama leaving the body is as difficult as that. But Amar of Levi bar Chaisa, Hanifke min a mess, when a person is taking leave of a mess, lo yom elei leich lishalem, ela leich bishalem. When you're taking leave of a mess, you don't say leich lishalem, go to peace, but rather leich lishalem, leich bishalem, go in peace. Hanifke min a chai, and vice versa, when you're taking leave of a living person, lo yom elei leich bishalem, ela leich lishalem. So why is that? Haniftim and Ames Loyim Alech B'Shalom Alech B'Shalom Shenema. The pasuk says we find Hashem tells Abram, "Va'ata Tovei El Avasecha B'Shalom, you will come to your ancestors in peace." So we see that B'Shalom is the appropriate word for a person when they're passing away. And this was the Bris Ben Absarim many years before Abram passed away, of course. But Hashem is telling him what's going to happen at the time. Hanifnim and Achai Loyim Alech B'Shalom Alech L'Shalom. Why is it when you're taking leave of a living person, you should say Lech L'Shalom rather than B'Shalom? We see an example. Shade David Sh'amala Avshalom Lech B'Shalom. David tells Avshalom when Avshalom is leaving Yerushalayim and he's about to start his rebellion, although David didn't know that. But David tells him Lech B'Shalom. And in the end, Holach V'Nitla, in the end, Avshalom wound up getting hanged from a tree and killed. Yisrael Shomel Moshe Leich L'Shalom. On the other hand, Yisrael tells Moshe when he's leaving Midian to go to Mitzrayim, he tells him Leich L'Shalom. Holach v'Hitzliach. So sure enough, Moshe went and he was successful. What's taka the difference? Why do we use L'Shalom for a living person and Bisholem for a person who passed away? So there's a few different explanations. They all come down to the idea that a living person has still shalom to accomplish. So don't have them leich bishalom, as if like you already have your shalom, but rather leich lishalom, go to the peace, to the shalom that you still have yet to accomplish. Whereas the neshama is going to the olam ha'emes, he already finished his avodah in this world, so therefore you don't tell him leich lishalom, as if like you still have peace you need to accomplish, but rather leich bishalom, go with the shalom, with the peace that you already accomplished in this world. So the Amr of Levi, Kola Yotzim Mbesa Knesses, Mbesa Benrish, Mbesa Medrish, Mbesa Knesses, when a person leaves Shul and goes immediately to the Medrish to learn Torah, and leaves the Medrish and goes right away to the Shul, Zeichel Makabel, Pnei Shechina, such a person has the schus to greet the face of the Shechina. Shenema, Yelcho Mechayel Ochoyel, they go from strength to strength, Yeiroa Elalekim B'Tzion, they appear before Hashem in Tzion, which means they get to greet the face of the Shechina. So, they go from strength to strength, from davening to learning, and from learning to davening. And the Gemara finishes off with another drasha on that pasuk. Amar Rav Chiya Ba'ashi Amar Rav, Tamar Chachamim Ein Lam Menucha Afilu La'olam Abba, Tamar Chachamim have no rest even La'olam Abba, because they keep on learning and coming up with new ideas in Torah. Shanema, the same pasuk, Yehu Mechai Elochoyu, they go from strength to strength, Yehirua Ela Lekim B'Tzion, they appear before Hashem in Tzion, which means in Olam Haba. So Marsha, actually, this Gemara is also at the end of Brachas. Marsha asks over there, one second, isn't the whole point of your Moshe Mashiach supposed to be Yom Shikul Shabbos Menucha L'Chayah Haylamim? So what are we saying? You ain't lahem Menucha. There's a couple of hadrons that the Rebbe made on Moed Katan, usually in connection with mostly in connection with Brachas, and then the Rebbe talks about an idea which is actually from Kisvei HaRizal, that there were two different periods. We know there are different periods. There's Olam Haba, where a person goes after 120, and then there's the time after Tchias HaMesim. So what we're focusing on over here and saying Ein Lahem Menucha is the time after Tchias HaMesim. They're not going to have Menucha because they're still learning and delving into Torah. And the Rebbe goes on to talk about in some detail. The last place that the Rebbe talks about it is in a Sicha of Chof Beis Shvat Nun Beis, so only a couple of weeks before Chof Zayin Adar. You can find it in Ma'amorim Melukah, but in other places, where the Rebbe also develops the idea that this Ein Lahem Menucha, because they keep coming up with Chidushim in Torah. So therefore, they have no rest. They keep on going higher and higher in Avodah and in coming close to the Eivishter. Hadron Alach Ve'elam Galchon, a slick of a Maseches Moed Katan.